Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. We're a church seeking to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Thank you to Life FM for continuing to host us. Today, as we look to God's Word, our reading is Luke 24, verses 13 to 35, so you can begin looking that up now. This sermon was recorded live at Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. After reading the passage, we'll hear the children's talk, so if you have children, make sure they're listening. And then we'll go to the sermon. So let's read Luke 24, 13 to 35. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels, who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." And he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. While he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened. And they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread.
Well, happy Easter, guys. Have you had a good morning? Did anything exciting happen this morning?
Yes.
Really? What happened? Easter egg hunt. How exciting. You had an Easter egg hunt with Mummy. Lucky boy. Now, I'm glad you've had such a good morning because I have had a bit of a disappointing morning. Okay, because look at this. I went to put some washing in my washing machine this morning and I went to fill it up with the powder, but look, it's empty. That was disappointing. My laundry detergent was empty. So I went and thought I'd have some breakfast. But I thought, you know, I've been dreaming about this all day, you know, Sunday morning, Easter morning, I'm going to have hot cross buns for breakfast. It's going to be the best. But look, my Easter egg packet was, my hot cross bun packet was empty. That's disappointing, isn't it? Empty packets are very disappointing. So I thought, oh, it's all right. I'll just have some Weet-Bix. Empty. My milk was completely out. My milk container was empty. That was very disappointing. So I thought, well, no, it's okay. I'll have toast with jam. but my jam jar was empty. Empty things are pretty disappointing, aren't they? So I thought, all right, you know what? It's Easter Sunday. All of my other options are gone. I'll have Easter eggs. Empty. What a disappointing morning. Empty packets are really disappointing, aren't they? I ate them already, do you think? Do you know, guys, we read in the Bible this morning about something that was empty, but it wasn't disappointing. Isabel, do you know? The tomb. That's exactly right. Do you know, on Easter Sunday, after Jesus had died, the women went to the tomb to wrap some spices around Jesus' body. But when they got there, they saw that the tomb was empty. How do you think those women felt? Delighted? Do you think so? What about you, Hannah? Confused. That's right. The Bible says that they were perplexed. What's going on here? Has somebody stolen Jesus' body? Why is his body not there? Dead bodies don't just disappear. You are exactly right, Maxwell. God raised Jesus back to life again. And the women saw an angel who said just that. Don't look for him among the dead. Jesus isn't here. He is alive. He has gone up to heaven now, hasn't he? But do you know, he appeared to lots and lots and lots of people who saw that he was alive. Right, we read a little bit about that in our Bible readings today, but there were lots and lots and lots of other people who saw Jesus alive after his death. So unlike my empty packets, the empty tomb was not disappointing. The empty tomb was the best news that any of us have ever had. See, the empty tomb means that Jesus is alive and that he is now king of the world, that he has conquered all of our enemies, and especially the enemy of death. Jesus is alive and king, ruling forever, and he will never die again. And if we trust in him, we can have that life too. Let's say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for sending Jesus to this earth. We thank you that he lived a perfect life, and yet he died when he didn't deserve to. Father, thank you that even though he was dead for 3 days, that you raised him back to life again, that death could not hold him down. We pray that you would help us to love Jesus, to trust in his death and resurrection in our place, so that we too can have life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, why don't we come and pray as we again come to this wondrous story, as we strive to understand what it means for us, why it is so significant. Let's come and let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, that you do not leave us in the dark, unsure of who you are, unsure of what you have done. But with your word, you have shone the light. We can know you. We can know your ways. We pray that your spirit would be at work in us even now, that we would understand this part of your word, that we would rejoice in it. Lord, may we glorify Jesus as we see that he truly is risen. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I can't remember the last time I experienced true darkness. There are those moments where you go from a very light room and suddenly you're plunged into darkness where your eyes need to adjust. You can't see anything. But that's the point, because your eyes need to adjust because there is a bit of light in that room. My bedroom isn't completely dark. There's a digital alarm clock by my side of the bed giving off a little bit of light. There's another little red light across the way. There's some light that comes in around the edges of the curtains of the window. When have you been in utter darkness? You sometimes see people driving at night without their lights on, and they haven't realized it because of the street lights. The street lights are so bright they have been able to see. Even when camping, and camping away from the city, if you're at a campsite, you'll have lights around you. If you're more remote, you'll probably at least still have the moon and the stars to see by, at least a little. Today is Resurrection Sunday. About 2,000 years ago, the followers of Jesus have just passed through the darkest day of their existence. The one they had been with for 3 years, who had led them, taught them, who'd done miracles in their presence, who they had such high hopes for, he was gone. He'd been cruelly betrayed and arrested, handed over to the Romans, put on the cross. So what was going to happen to them now? But it's a new day. Light is dawning. This is the day Jesus' followers would see that the night wasn't so dark after all. There was light shining from their scriptures, if only they could see it. Into their darkness, Jesus comes, showing them the light. As we explore this story, we receive the same call as them. Believe Jesus rose as the prophets foretold. It's easy to forget, to live as though this isn't true. But Jesus did rise. The prophets really did foretell it, and it should change everything. If you're not sure that this is true, this is the day to start exploring. To take the risk and maybe discover that the Bible has been right all along. Because if Jesus rose as the prophets foretold, that should change everything. Let's dive into the story, starting with the first section, verses 13 through to 27, where the scriptures are opened. The scriptures are opened. Look at verses 13 and 14. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. Now, this is the same day that the women, Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women, it says in verse 10, they'd gone to the tomb with spices and were going to wrap him up in them. This was part of their burial ritual. In the darkness of their sadness, they went to honor and prepare his body. He really was dead, you see. But they saw an angel telling them Jesus was now alive. Peter ran off and he saw the tomb, the linen which had been wrapped around Jesus, but no angels, no Jesus. And with all of that going on, the women, Peter running off, these two were going to Emmaus. About 2.5 hours walk away. And as you'd expect, verse 14, they were talking about all these things together. How could you not? And suddenly a man walks up from behind them and joins them. Look at verse 16. Their eyes were kept from recognizing him. That's fascinating. One commentator says, we cannot see the risen Christ, although he be walking with us, unless he wills to disclose him, to disclose himself. He is king even over those even over those who see him. This stranger asks what they've been talking about and feel the emotion of this moment in verse 17. And they stood still, looking sad. They were walking to Emmaus. This man asks what they're talking about, and they stop and they look sad. Don't forget the human element to this story. These men loved Jesus. They'd followed him for years, and as far as they know, he's gone. This is genuine mourning. And then Cleopas answers him in verse 18, telling him everything that has happened to Jesus. Let's pause there for a moment. Let's imagine that you were wanting to make up a religion. You'd gotten together with some friends, and you decided that you would lie that someone had been resurrected. Someone was now alive who had been dead, meaning that this person was now king of the universe. And what you do is you'd pull together a few verses from the Old Testament later on to back up your claims. Now, of course, if this person was now alive after being dead, well, it'd help to have a few resurrection appearances, wouldn't it? So first, let's see. Let's have him appear to some women. Some women, because even though in your day, the testimony of women isn't worth very much, you know that later on, down the track, you're confident that people of a later time will see how countercultural Jesus was. You're putting your money on a couple of hundred years later, a couple of thousand years later, then they'll see how incredible this story is. How countercultural Jesus was. You pull together a few other instances, that the disciples in a room that was locked, Jesus appears there, that sounds good. You think some more, maybe there were some people walking along and they had a conversation with Jesus, but they didn't realize it. That sounds good. That's a good appearance. But who should the two be? Maybe Peter should be there. No, we've got other plans for Peter. James. John. What about Matthias? That would make a good introduction before he replaces Judas. No, here's an even better idea. Let's have it be someone that we have never met before and who won't be mentioned again. Cleopas and another follower whose name we don't even know. Perfect. Is that what you would do if you were making up a religion? I don't think so. Doesn't it read as genuine history? Back to the story. These two pour out their hearts to this stranger. Everything that's happened, their hopes for what might have been, that he might have been the one to redeem Israel. And now the strange news from the women and Peter and the others who went to the tomb and didn't see him. And how does this stranger, who we know is Jesus, how does he respond? Verses 25 to 27. Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus is saying here, this shouldn't be a surprise. All the clues are right there all through the Old Testament. God wasn't hiding the fact that his Messiah would suffer, die, and rise. But still, they were in the dark because it requires you to be reading the Old Testament in the right way, with the right glasses on. See, it's not hidden, but as you read the Bible, you need a Jesus lens. It's like in The Sixth Sense. After you've watched the movie once, here's a spoiler warning for a movie that's, what, over 20, 30 years old? I don't know how old it is. After you've watched the movie once and you've had that big reveal that Bruce Willis's character is actually dead, when you watch it again the second time, you can see it, you understand. All the clues were there all through the movie and you saw it but it didn't register. But after the reveal, you can't escape seeing it. It all shines through and you wonder how you missed it in the first place. What a Bible study this would have been. What would Jesus have said? What would he have pointed out? See, there's plenty in the Old Testament about Jesus being the sacrifice, the king, the prophet, the priest. But what about his resurrection? We saw the resurrection on Good Friday when we looked at Isaiah 53. After he died, it said, he shall prolong his days. In Psalm 16, David predicts God wouldn't let his Holy One see corruption in the grave. He was promised a descendant. David was promised a descendant to reign on the throne forever. Solomon's temple, it was destroyed and then rebuilt. Jesus would die and rise. And there's so much more throughout the Old Testament. All the Old Testament is about Jesus. It's about the promised Savior. The Old Testament, it proclaims his identity, proclaims his saving death, and yes, also his resurrection. On this journey to Emmaus, the scriptures are opened. Once we were in the dark, but now, as Jesus explains, the light shines. We're given Jesus' glasses for the Old Testament on this day of Jesus' resurrection. And on this day of Jesus' resurrection, they and we are being urged, believe that Jesus rose, as the prophets foretold. Which brings us to our second section in verses 28 to 35. The scriptures were opened, and now eyes are opened. Verse 28 says they're coming close to Emmaus, but Jesus makes to go past the village. And the question is, what will they do? These two men who've been with him, what will they do? Will they show hospitality? Do they desire to be with him, or have they had enough of him? They're being invited to reach out to Jesus without knowing his identity. Even while their eyes are blinded to who he is, will they desire him? And in verse 29, we find that these disciples are commendable. Even without recognizing Jesus, they urged him strongly to stay with them. See, without the streetlights, it would be difficult to see. Bandits could come around the corner. Any number of things could happen if he continued on his way. And while they're about to have their evening meal, the lights are suddenly switched on for them. Eyes are opened. Verse 30, when he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Now, this is an interesting detail. He's acting like the host of the meal instead of the guest. Not quite sure why, except maybe it's because he has just spent all this time on their journey interpreting the Old Testament for them, discussing that, and so they've come to think of him as someone with special honor. So he takes the place of honor as the host of the meal. And as he breaks the bread and gives it to them, finally in verse 31, their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he vanished from their sight. What made them recognize him? Why did God choose that moment to show them who he was? Was it because breaking the bread was such a familiar action? They'd no doubt seen him do it many times. Before, around a table, they probably saw him doing it many, many, many times when he was feeding the 5,000 and then feeding the 4,000. I couldn't really think of any other mannerisms or actions which would instantly make me think of someone else. But there are those famous lines out there, aren't there, which make us instantly associate that line with a certain character, an actor. Dolt is Homer Simpson, thank you. Excuse my accent, I'll be back. Is Arnie, thank you, Arnie, the Terminator. Bond, James Bond is James Bond, thank you very much. as he introduces himself. Was breaking bread something like that? Or was it because they finally saw the nail prints in his hands, the physical marks of his sufferings that he had just been talking about on the road as being predicted and anticipated all through the Old Testament? Whatever the reason, they recognize him and he disappears like a character from Star Trek being beamed up. Now, how is that possible? Is this something for us to look forward to when we get our resurrection bodies? Instant teleportation? Is that what we're promised? Or is this because Jesus is not just a man, he's also God. He's the God-man. Well, I actually suspect that's the reason. I don't think this is saying, hey, we're all going to be able to teleport in the new creation, but I could be wrong. I don't know. That's just a hunch that I've got. But finally, now their eyes are open and they can understand their emotions that they were having while on the road. Verse 32, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? This was familiar grounds to them. They had spent years listening to Jesus teach them. The crowds had been amazed as he taught them with authority, instead of like all the other teachers who needed to quote and quote and quote other authorities to give weight to what they said. And they'd experienced the same wonder that they had back then with Jesus. They experienced that same wonder with this man on the road as he taught them with authority, explaining how the prophets foretold that he would rise from the dead. Jesus was the master teacher. No wonder their hearts burned with excitement and wonder at the truths that he told them. And these two, they don't even wait the night. They'd urged Jesus to stay with them instead of traveling at night, but they can't wait themselves. Off they go. The 2.5-hour journey, maybe more because it's night, and they get to Jerusalem and they tell others of their experience with the risen Christ. And when there, they discover that they're not the only ones. We now live in the world of the resurrection. Christ is risen. And that means everything has changed. The darkness has given way to the light, which is why we celebrate this morning and every year. And actually, the resurrection is what Christians celebrate every Sunday. Every Sunday, we come together rejoicing that Jesus has risen and will reign forever. Death cannot stop him because death has already been defeated. Every day, Christians live in the light of this eternal reality that Jesus is the risen King. You might not believe that Jesus is risen. Or maybe you wouldn't quite go that far, but you're considering it. It is great that you are here today because this is the central claim of Christianity to tackle if you want to work out if it's true or not. This is one of the big differences between Christianity and every other religion. We have an historical event to examine. And even our own scriptures say that if you can disprove this, if you can disprove the resurrection, well then Christianity isn't true. See, you can't disprove that Muhammad had a revelation from Gabriel in the cave. You can't disprove that Buddha received enlightenment under the tree. You can tackle the ideas, but there's no real historical event to grapple with that can be examined. How do you say that there was no angel in that cave at that time? You can't do it. But there is a historical event that you can examine in Christianity, the resurrection. If it's not true, then guess what? You can move on then to another philosophy, another religion, try and work out whether that's the one that you're going to go with. But if it is true, well, then all those other options, they fall away. This Easter, explore Christianity. explore the resurrection. Start by thinking about this story that we've been looking at. Does it sound made up? Is this what you would write if you were in the first century and you were making this kind of story up? Would you name a nobody like Cleopas? Would you have Jesus' disciples, remember, you would be one of them that you're writing about, would you have yourself be so clueless? Explore the resurrection. Because if the resurrection is true, it changes everything. And we would love to help you in that process, explaining why we believe Jesus rose as the prophets foretold. Christians, has the resurrection changed everything for you? Has it changed how you read the Bible? Jesus, his suffering, his resurrection, his glory, that's what all of the Old Testament is pointing towards, pointing forward to. As you read through the Old Testament, are you searching for Jesus there? Have you discovered how exciting it is to see how the stories and the poetry and the laws and the prophecy, how they all point to him? Cleopas and his friends said their hearts burned within them as Jesus explained the Bible to them this way. You can have that same joy of discovery. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's difficult. But the resurrection should change everything, including how we read the Bible. Believe Jesus rose as the prophets foretold and look for those moments through the Old Testament. And what did the disciples do when they had this encounter? When they realized, yes, Jesus really is alive. That he had opened the scriptures to them so that they could understand that it was all about him. What did they do when the darkness was lifted and they could finally see? That same hour, they left. They made the long journey back to Jerusalem in the dark, also that they wouldn't waste any more time and they could tell their friends, who they thought were still in mourning, that Jesus really was alive. We live in a world where the threat of death hangs over us every day. And thanks to Jesus' resurrection, we know that death isn't the end. At the beginning of Luke's book, Luke tells us why he's writing. So Theophilus would know for certain that the things he's been taught about Jesus are true. If you believe that the resurrection is true, that Jesus rose according to the prophets, isn't this the kind of news you should share? Jesus' resurrection proves all his other words to be true. His words about heaven and hell, about how we escape hell and get to heaven. We only get to heaven to have eternal life with God if we believe in Jesus. He came to save. Will we keep that news to ourselves? Bendigo loves Easter. Any excuse for a festival and Bendigo will go for it. Fireworks, rides, food, entertainment. We're a city that loves to entertain ourselves to death, to distract ourselves from the deep questions of life. But let's not let our neighbours do that. If Jesus really is alive, if he did rise according to the prophets, and if he has promised that we will rise if we believe in him, what do we have to lose? This Easter, let's ask people what they think Easter is all about. Let's ask them what it would take for them to believe that Jesus really did rise. Are you ready to have those conversations, to ask those questions, to call people to believe in him, to escape hell and be welcomed into heaven? Do we want them to have that same eternal joy that we have, which these two disciples have? If our hearts burn with joy and wonder at the resurrection of Jesus, well, let's invite others to believe too. We want the darkness to lift for them too. Because he really did rise according to the prophets. Let's rejoice and let's pray to our God. Our Father in heaven, we come to you amazed at this story, that Jesus really did rise from the dead, that you promised this through your holy prophets. You promised it all through the Old Testament. We thank you that it is true, that as we read this story, we can know that it's true. Thank you that your Spirit testifies to our spirit that these words are true. We praise you that Jesus truly is risen, that death is defeated, that your righteous anger has been satisfied. We thank you, our God, that the cross truly did take away the sin of all those who would believe in you. And so we pray that this Easter, this Resurrection Sunday, we would be transformed. We would become bold as the apostles would become bold. We would be full of joy as your apostles were full of joy. And our God, we pray that many would hear and would believe this good news. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. Next week, we'd love to have you join us in person for our service at 10 a.m. I hope to see you there. And as always, if you'd like to make a comment on what you've heard today, you have a question, or you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. You can also contact us through Facebook or Instagram. God bless you.